We are all gathered here today due to the compassion, sacrifice, love, and causeless mercy of our beloved Guru Maharaj, His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada. In 1965, we His Divine Grace A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada crossed the ocean. He had no money. 40 rupees, no support, no one on the other side of the planet, even the slightest bit interested in helping him. He had one thing, which he told us was his wealth, faith in the order of his spiritual master. He was an ocean of compassion. Although Srila Prabhupada writes in his diary that he was just such a small little being tossed around by the massive waves of the Atlantic Ocean. But within his heart was an ocean of compassion. In comparison, the Atlantic Ocean was no more water than contained in the hoofprint of a small calf. Srila Prabhupada was the ocean. And anyone who has been so fortunate to open their hearts to receive even a single drop of that compassion is certainly very dear to Krishna. And in course of time, we'll achieve the ultimate perfection to go back home, back to Godhead. Srila Prabhupada, as did Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur, promised their followers that if we are sincere to carry out their instructions in our life, at the end of life, we will certainly go back home, back to God. And we know that Krishna never betrays the words of his devotee. Krishna promised before Kurukshetra battle, I will not fight. But he told Arjuna, Kuntiya pratichanehi nametha bhakta pranashati. You declare it boldly that my devotee will not be vanquished. During the battle of Kurukshetra, Krishna violated his own promise to protect the promise of his devotee Arjuna. It is our beloved Guru Maharaj's promise. Anyone who sincerely follows his instructions, after leaving this body, will go back home, back to Godhead. Krishna will make that promise true. We should never forget our debt to Srila Prabhupada. The prominent condition of our hearts that we should aspire for is genuine gratitude to Srila Prabhupada. It is quite amazing what Srila Prabhupada has done for us and for the world. Recently I was reading a speech that Srila Prabhupada gave in 1973 in London, at the occasion of his Vyas Puja. He explained that Chaitanya Charitamrita was completing, and he gave all credit to Pradyumna. He said, "This beloved disciple of mine, he worked so hard. Thus I call him Pandit Mahashoy." Very great honor. He said it is actually his work that is responsible for Chaitanya Charitamrita to soon become available. Later on he said, quote unquote, "Soon I may die. And I request all of you to take the responsibility to carry on this mission of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and my Guru Maharaj. I am hopeful of that." Prabhupada said that our mission is spreading all over the world, because all of you are helping me so much. I deserve no credit. The credit is yours, because you are assisting me in the mission of my Guru Maharaj. This is Vaishnav, Paramhamsa. It was that mood of complete humility and surrender, that mood of willing to undergo any inconvenience and suffering to show compassion to others. That is actually our only qualification. Once they asked Srila Prabhupada, "What is our qualification to receive the highest Siddhanta?" Prabhupada was honest. He said, "You have no qualification. I made your qualification. The only qualification is that you have accepted this message from me." And then Srila Prabhupada went on to explain that his only qualification was he was simply repeating the words of his spiritual master without adding or subtracting anything. amongst yogic societies and religions today, especially in India and all over the world. People put their faith simply in a personality because of that person's charisma, or perhaps because that person has an eloquent ability to speak, or because the person is a very charming smile, or very kind and gentle. But that is not the real path of truth. Krishna tells us, evam parampara praptam idam racharshayavitam. Prabhupada said his only qualification is he is simply repeating the words of his spiritual master. And because he was repeating those words so perfectly through his life and his teachings, that was our only qualification to receive. Srila Prabhupada spent a major portion of his time in India, and most of his time in Bombay. He had a very, very deep and profound desire that all of you take to Krishna consciousness and help spread this great mission. And on the basis of his desire, your hearts have been transformed. Srila Prabhupada very much wanted the people of India to take the path of bhakti within their hearts and share it with others. He appealed, he begged and on the basis of his humble appeal you have all come. My great fortune is by Srila Prabhupada's inconceivable mercy. He's allowing me to assist you in your wonderful service to him. And I feel, honestly, an eternal debt to all of you, because in allowing me to assist you, you are giving me the most profound joy of rendering some service to our beloved Guru Maharaj. Srila Prabhupada is very great. Really, I don't know Srila Prabhupada. I know he's Paramhamsa. I know he's Shaktivesh Avatar. I know he saved my life. But I am small, and he is great. But in serving his servants, I could feel his mercy showering upon us. So I thank you for that gift. The International Society for Krishna Consciousness is Prabhupada's family. He said that he shed buckets of blood to bring devotees to this mission. ISKCON is Srila Prabhupada's life's offering to his Guru Maharaj, Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur. Years ago, by inconceivable will of providence, the small temple of Radha Gopinath and its various affiliations were, at least externally, not within the ISKCON Society. But when the sweet will of Srila Prabhupada manifested in a special way, we were invited to come back. And we had a meeting with all our congregation. It was about 1/4 of the people in this room today. And there was a discussion whether we should accept this offer. And there was so many reasons why and so many reasons why not. And then after so many people spoke, by the kindness of the devotees, they asked for my opinion. I revealed my heart. There may be many problems within ISKCON that we're going to have to personally be a part of. And our community is very small and simple, and problems are very small and simple. And you have all expressed so many reasons, so many concerns. However, there's one reason why I feel we should. And as far as I'm concerned, compared to this reason, all other reasons and arguments are irrelevant and non-existent. That reason is, it would be what Srila Prabhupada wants us to do. Yasya prasada bhagavat prasada, yasya prasada nagati kutau. We are simply living, existing, to assist him, to please him, to serve his servants. Whether we succeed or fail in our practical projects is not what is all important, but whether our sincerity to please him is real. That is all important. The Shiksha Gurus, the Diksha Gurus, are all to be given proper respect according to our Shastras. However, whatever our position is, we are all simply trying to work together to assist Srila Prabhupada in his service to his Guru Maharaj. That is our life, that is our soul. Vyas Puja is the day when devotees offer their gratitude to our entire Guru Parampara. Through the medium of the current spiritual masters. Krishna spoke this message to Brahma at the dawn of creation. Brahma spoke to his son Narada and Narada to Vyasadeva. Vyasadeva is incarnation of Krishna. He is considered original guru because whatever guru speaks must be supported by Shastra. And he is the compiler of the Vedic literatures. In Badrikashram, Vedavyas imparted this knowledge to Madhvacharya. It was preserved and expanded through the system of disciplic succession. Then that great Kalpa Vriksha tree from Goloka Vrindavan descended in the form of Srila Madhavendra Puri to give to our sampradaya the ecstatic mood of the highest rasas of Braja. He empowered this knowledge to Ishvara Puri. The Yuga Avatar, Lord Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, descended into this world to give what no other incarnation has ever given. The mellows of the ecstatic rasas of Vrindavan to everyone and anyone without discrimination. In order to set the proper precedent, the Lord himself humbly served and took initiation from his spiritual master, Ishvara Puri. When he received the order to chant the holy names and give and spread this mission of Harinam Sankirtan to the world, then only did Lord Chaitanya manifest his lila of inaugurating Harinam Sankirtan. His direct disciples were the six Goswamis, Sri Rupa Goswami, Sanatan Goswami, Raghunath Das Goswami, Gopal Bhatt Goswami, Raghunath Bhatt Goswami, and Jiva Goswami. Living in Vrindavan, they took the message of Mahaprabhu and wrote elaborate philosophical books extracting the essence of all the Vedas and revealing that pure unalloyed devotional service is the only platform that is real, that is eternal, and that could give joy to the heart. By their lives, they showed the world what is the highest platform of ecstatic love. Through their mercy, Narottam Das Thakur and Srinivas Acharya took this message, put it in book form, and inaugurated mass distribution. Later on, Srila Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur, who was empowered to perfectly understand the heart of Sri Rupa Goswami, renovated our sampradaya, which was having great difficulty at the time, wrote incredible literatures. And his disciple, Baladeva Vidyabhushan, on Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur's order, established Govinda Bhasya, the standard commentary on the Vedanta Sutra of Gaudiya Vaishnavas. Some generations later, Jagannath Das Babaji became a profoundly effulgent connection to this eternal line of parampara. He inspired the heart of Bhakti Vinod Thakur, who challenged all deviation from true Vaishnavism and had a vision of Americans, Europeans, Africans, Russians coming to Sri Mayapur to gather together with their arms raised, loudly chanting the holy name. He has given us beautiful prayers, bhajans, and songs that contain the very essence of all knowledge, philosophy, and pure devotional sentiments. His glorious son was Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur, who received initiation from Gaur Kishore Das Babaji Maharaj, the very embodiment of the ecstasy of love and separation and renunciation. So many traditions that are based on deviant misconceptions. One of my dear godbrothers was lamenting because India is becoming so westernized. And I said, that is very lamentable. But a Vaishnava should try to see an opportunity in every situation. We have seen that people who are really, really orthodox and traditional, their orthodox and their tradition is practically always based on misconceptions. Yatamatatapat. That all paths lead to the same goal. You worship Ganapati, Surya, Durga Kali, Shiva, Kartikeya, Krishna, Ram, Vishnu, Shuni. Worship anyone, it doesn't matter. You can worship a candle. And ultimately you'll achieve the same destination. Because everything's God and all is God and I am God. Sometimes I've seen very, very scholarly, charismatic, emotional preachers speaking, and tens and thousands of people coming. But it's very rare to find even one that has understood any siddhanta. What's actually the goal? What's clear? Nirvishesha shunyavadi. So much mayavad. So much materialistic contamination. And although there may be orthodox, very good standards of cleanliness and culture, if it doesn't culminate in pure, unalloyed devotional service to the Supreme Personality of Godhead, it's not the absolute truth. But somehow or other, people of India who become westernized they're open to hear. And when they hear, they don't have so much of the baggage of all of their misconceptions, philosophically and religiously. Recently, some of our very, very most profound, surrendered cult, Vaishnav, cultured, pure, wonderful devotees of our congregation. I mean, they actually have real culture of Vedic culture, Vedic knowledge, and they're surrendering to Krishna with the right conception wholeheartedly. When George Harrison left his body, they were saying that we grew up listening to the Beatles. You're Indian. You're from culture. But somehow or other, their hearts were open. And they took the message. And the Siddhanta was there. And then all the culture and everything else that they didn't really pay so much attention to because of their samskaras, they could immediately take it all back and use it for the highest purpose. So our only concern is that somehow or other, we don't want people simply to be nice, pious Hindus. We want people to understand, manmanabhava madbhakto madhyajim nam namaskaru, mam evaishashi shatyamte pratijani priyoshu. That the real purpose of life is to always remember Krishna, the personality of Godhead, to worship Krishna, to become his devotee. Prabhupada said the people of India are this far from Krishna, but they're running this way. Prabhupada said if you can just convince them of the Siddhanta, they're so close. And we have seen. We want to take the wonderful, wonderful culture and tradition of India and Krishnize it, bring it back to its origin. That was Srila Prabhupada's great desire. But that is only possible when people understand the necessity and the glory of parampara. We are Rupanugas. Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur said that our prayer should be that the ultimate aspiration in our life is to be a speck of dust at the lotus feet of Sri Rupa and Raghunath Das Goswamis. It is that gift that Srila Prabhupada has given. We don't simply have faith in one form of a person. When we put our faith in Srila Prabhupada, we are putting our faith in all the previous acharyas. We are receiving the mercy and the knowledge and the realizations of all the previous acharyas. And that is our pride, that we have received that current of mercy. This event today, in my heart, it is one insignificant soul trying to make an offering to Srila Prabhupada by encouraging all of you to find the ever-increasing love and mercy that he has come to give the world. And to understand the origin of that mercy, our great acharyas. Krishna tells us, sarva dharman parityajya mam ekam sharanam vraja aham tvam sarva papevyo mokshaye shamimasaja. Abandon all varieties of religion, surrender to me. I shall deliver you from all sinful reactions. Do not fear. But what does it mean to surrender? Chaitanya Mahaprabhu taught, Gopi Bhartur Padakamalayora Das 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 Anu Das. To be the servant of the servant of the servant of the servant of Krishna, the Lord of Gopis. I recently heard Srila Prabhupada saying, I found it amusing and striking. I'm almost afraid to tell you what I heard him say. Prabhupada told us that parampara is just like bureaucracy. When I left home and became a sadhu in Himalayas, living in jungles and caves, I was trying to escape from bureaucracy. And now, after surrendering my life to my Guru Maharaj, he tells me, this parampara, Krishna consciousness movement, is bureaucracy. And then he explained why. What is bureaucracy? If you want to meet the president, you can't go directly. First you have to go to the local collector. Then the local collector, if he's pleased with you, then he'll take you to his authority, and he'll take you to his authority, and he'll take you to his authority, and on and on and on. And ultimately, if you please everyone, whether it's by bribes, or whether it's by giving them prasad, or whether it's by some good arguments, somehow or other, if you please everyone, then he will introduce you to the secretary. And if the secretary is pleased with you, then you can meet the president. That is bureaucracy. And that's why India is so difficult to deal with, because so much bureaucracy. But parampara is transcendental bureaucracy. You cannot approach Krishna directly. We're all approaching the lotus feet of Srila Prabhupada with straw between our teeth, begging for his mercy if he's pleased upon us. Then he offers us to his Guru Maharaj, who offers to his Guru Maharaj, who offers to his Guru Maharaj. And actually, at this very moment, we're being offered through the entire parampara. And ultimately, Srimati Radharani offers us to the lotus feet of Krishna. There is no other way of meeting Krishna. So therefore, we don't try to be big and advanced. We try to be humble servants. That was Lord Chaitanya's teaching. Trinarapi sunichena tarorapi sahishmana. Amani namanadena kirtaniya sadahari. We are now in the middle of the December Gita Jayanti book marathon. And so many hundreds of devotees, thousands of devotees all over India, tens and thousands of devotees all over the world are going into the streets, into the railway stations, into factories, wherever they can, airports, as beggars. Simply begging people. Take the divine words of our parampara. That is the greatest service. To simply be a humble instrument in the hands of the great souls. We should not try to be a great soul. We should be surrendered instruments in the hands of the great souls. When Prabhupada was on Jaladuta, he didn't say, Krishna, make me great. He said, Krishna, make me a puppet. A puppet dancing according to whatever way you make me dance. In this spirit of real devotion to the Supreme Personality of Godhead, we can attain the ultimate benefits through applying to our life with great faith the Yuga Dharma. The sincere chanting of the holy names. Hare Krishna,
Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare.
How any of you can see anything good in me is some mysterious miracle of Srila Prabhupada, which I really do not understand. But somehow or other, this is His mercy. So let us forever remain united and try to unite the whole family of Srila Prabhupada in a spirit of love and trust. And let us all work together as the instruments of Mahaprabhu to spread the glories of the holy name. All the power, opulence, and mercy of Krishna is in His name. If we have faith in Srila Prabhupada's words that we will achieve the ultimate destination by sincerely, offenselessly chanting Hare Krishna, there will be no obstacles that can possibly divert us from that path back home, back to Godhead. Thank you very much.